910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. The airstrikes intensifying in Rafah as Israeli forces continue their offensive in the southern Gaza city, where a million people have fled since the start of the war. ABC's Britt Clinett in Tel Aviv has more on the strike over the weekend, believed to have killed at least 50.
The IDF claiming it was the fire that broke out following the strike that caused mass civilian casualties, and that they're investigating what triggered that fire. The IDF saying the strike targeted two Hamas commanders. Meanwhile, the mass exodus of the formerly safe zone continues.
The jury in Donald Trump's criminal hush money trial will get the case today. The judge is expected to deliver final instructions shortly, and after that, deliberations begin. In the same courthouse where the Trump case is happening, disgraced film mogul Harvey Weinstein is scheduled to show up for a hearing, his rape conviction having been tossed out. Giant pandas are coming back to the National Zoo in Washington 6 months after three pandas were sent back to China. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Madison judge could restore union rights to Wisconsin public sector workers taken away under Act 10. In oral arguments yesterday, attorney Stephen Carl Kilpatrick said lawyers were within their rights to treat police and firefighters differently.
The legislature decided that this passage of Act 10 could create labor disruption. And what it decided was that there were certain job categories that it could not live without.
There's no timeline for the judge's ruling. A 100-year-old World War II veteran who survived the D-Day invasion was celebrated during a parade in Wisconsin this week. Jack Krzyzewski was part of Pulaski's Memorial Day commemorations Monday. He's going back to Normandy next week. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A Superior man was killed in a rollover crash on Sunday night. According to the Superior Police Department, the single-vehicle crash occurred around 10 p.m. on Sunday near Highway 105 and Logan Avenue. Both the 25-year-old driver and 24-year-old passenger were ejected from the car and taken to the hospital for treatment, but the driver was pronounced dead from the injuries sustained in the crash. The passenger suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Authorities believe speed and alcohol were factors in the crash. Hayward's annual Muskie Festival has received a $25,000 prize for being a finalist in the Senex Hometown Throwdown. The competition is meant to highlight local small-town festivals that give back to their community. Muskie Fest was the runner-up in the competition, finishing behind Norbourne, Missouri's Soybean Festival, which earned their event a $100,000 prize. Muskie Fest is in its 74th year and is scheduled for late June. More information on the event is available on their website. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers lose to the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers went into extra innings but lost to the Cubs in front of 24,000 fans at AmFam Field. Chicago, with a five-run rally in the 10th, went on to win 6-3. Willie Adames drove in the tying run but was called out at second trying to secure a double. A challenge failed. X-rays on Brewers closer Trevor Megill were negative after he took a hot comeback shot to his right throwing arm. A lot of twists and turns in this one. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
Yeah, there's a lot of key moments. That was one of them for sure. The throw from left field to the bang bang play, key moment.
The Cubs getting a good performance from their bullpen and starter Ben Brown, who pitched a no-hitter through seven innings before being pulled. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
Look, it was a tight game, and so it was a fun game to watch, and we pitched really well and showed a lot of spirit in the game and a lot of fight and came up with a win.
Again, the Brewers losing to the Cubs 6-3. The series continues game three out of the four-game series tonight. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Lots of sunshine today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Not much wind either out of the northeast at only around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear 41. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 by Friday. More scattered showers with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 53.
My mom has taken up going to the park to practice yoga.
My dad's going to a club, but not a book club, a salsa club.
Finding new hobbies comes with age. My mom has started getting lost and not knowing where she's going.
Becoming lost or disoriented doesn't. Confusion with time or place may be a sign of Alzheimer's. An early diagnosis can help improve the quality of life for your loved one. Learn the warning signs of Alzheimer's at 10signs.org. Brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll be joined by Navy veteran Tom Paulsiewicz. We'll discuss what President Joe Biden has gotten done for veterans.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You kind of scared yourself, you turn and run. But if you have a change of heart.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday, that means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of
Citizen Action.
Citizen Action. Hey, how you doing, Dr. Craig?
Good. I took a week off, stayed in New Mexico, so I've been biking and hiking.
Wow. It's what is the weather's got to be? Toasty,
80s.
Huh?
In the upper mid to upper 80s, but dry heat. I went to their Palace of Governors yesterday, Earl. I had no idea. It was first built in 1610
Wow.
by the Spanish when it was a colonial outpost. And they've kept changing the building, but they've tried to bring it back to its original. But it's a museum now, but it's amazing. It puts nothing that old in Wisconsin.
So it has to be made of clay? What is it made of?
It's made of stone, but it looks very kind of combination Spanish mission and adobe style. It's gone through all iterations. They actually had to excavate big parts of it because it had and found new rooms and things like that. But they've restored it.
You know, Dr. Craig, since you're down that way, I just got through having a discussion about Phoenix, Arizona, where 645 people have died last year, and a lot of it is because people are homeless and they're living. How is it possible, Dr. Craig, that in Phoenix, Arizona, people are homeless and living on the street and people are aware? Why do we allow that kind of stuff to happen?
That's a great moral question, right, Earl, as to it's amazing in our society how many people who have a lot of power can deny any responsibility. And I think the first step in social ethics is to think about, both a collective responsibility and individual responsibility. Now, it doesn't mean necessarily, private charity. It can mean being involved in trying to create a society that cares for the least among us, as Jesus called upon us to do. But I just say that I was in Phoenix in December, and you can see it there, but you can see it even more here in New Mexico. New Mexico is one of the poorest states in the union, very diverse population. And it's like Albuquerque, where I am, is like a gated city. The Quality Inn that I'm in, which is not the high, this is not a Marriott, right? This is not a Hilton, right? Has automatic gates on the parking lot. It's like everything's like a gated community around here because there are so many poor and homeless people. Even the working class has gated itself off. And they have apparently, disinvested here in mental health, the Republican governor they had. And so that surged the number of homeless people. So, and we're in this situation as we watch Donald Trump's trial, that we have a movement that's built on othering people who are less disadvantaged and making them the enemy. And that is exactly what will fuel even worse kind of consequences.
You know, Dr. Craig, there was a time when the church in this nation and the churches were so well organized that and the time that our nation said, well, we'll forego this because we'll allow the churches to address these kinds of issues. And the churches aren't in a position to do this anymore, right? Because the problem is so huge that it's going to require the nation itself to address some of these issues, humanitarian issues that happen on our streets, right? You know, the humanitarian, it can be. So we've got, I'm having one of those senior moments when there's a major, hurricane and all those kind of things. And then we have,
natural disaster.
Natural disaster. And then we have the name of that thing that comes in. That comes in to deal with all that. I forgot what it's called.
FEMA, right?
FEMA, federal emergency. Right, manager. Federal emergency. Yeah. But Dr. Craig, people struggling in this country, in cities, and states across this entire nation, are in tremendous need. I will say this, and I was on Memorial Day or the day before that, I was a part of a block party, huge block party, and barbecued 30 pounds of chicken and for the people at the block party. And a 10-year-old girl came up to me and she said, "Sir," really, yes, well-spoken young lady, I'm hungry. And my mother's over there, and I've got 6 siblings. Do you think we could have some of that chicken for dinner? We'll make it our dinner." And my heart bled, Dr. Craig, because guess what? She said, "Well, our food stamps aren't coming until, next month." And here's this family. And the mother's in it over her head, Dr. Craig, and somehow they slip through the cracks. An entire family, Dr. Craig. So I guess what I'm asking you is, and I know you're a moral guy, you're a moral man, why can't we do better in this country? Why won't we do better?
We could. There's still a possibility, right? And there are a lot of people like you and I and a lot of most of your listeners who agree. First, you have to lean in. You have to start with a place of love for all humanity. And so your description of how your heart bled for that little girl and her family, that is exactly how we should ground this. You are right that not only can private charity from churches, secular sources, not handle the problem, if you want to be fact-based, real research back 150 years in the United States and Europe shows it is never taken care of poverty. It's always been a drop in the bucket. It's always required collective action through government. And the problem is we have a right-wing ideology that denies that and is not fact-based. And it's this non-fact-based element of it is goes way back, way beyond Donald Trump. I mean, Ronald Reagan retold the Good Samaritan story, a Jesus story, to say that Jesus didn't say, go get government bureaucrats out to help, go and individually help that man on the road.
Right.
Now, that was a nice rationalization for pulling up the social safety net, right, and creating the spike in homelessness and deinstitutionalizing mental health, everything else, which would have been okay if you would invest the same amount in non-institutionalized mental health. That wasn't done. Instead, we built prisons, and that was the place where we didn't really deinstitutionalize mental health. We moved people to corrections, right, instead of cure, even misguided curative efforts, such as institutional mental health. So you have a split in most of the major world religions, certainly in Christianity, Catholicism, Judaism, between a right and a left wing, Earl. And part of the problem is that the right wing of Christianity is the bedrock of the Trump coalition. And all of them are losing ground in the United States. We now, the largest group is the unchurched. And unfortunately, the liberal religions have lost ground even more, but the evangelical Christians have gone from 25% of the population to 15% and falling. There are some analysts who think that this election is their last gasp to take control so they can impose their morality. And there's a great book by a theologian called The Republican Jesus that shows how this version of Christianity has really distorted Christian teachings and made it into a right-wing political ideology. And this is a serious theologian that goes through the actual interpretation of the text and its social context and shows how absurd things such as Reagan's version of the Good Samaritan story is. So we have to cut through that. And the only way to do that is to build the power in love, and that's what social justice movements are, to both win the political fight and then to do what we know we need to do to create a just society. I mean, we know what we need to do, but it's a matter of getting around all the denial and all those who capitalize on hatred, which is a perversion of love, because hatred, Earl, is about, I need to protect my family from this evil thing, right? So it's grounded in some good principle. We need to protect our families, our friends, our communities. The problem is the perversion is the idea of who the enemy is, the least among us, people who are undocumented, anyone who wants to do good in the world, as opposed to just grab all that they can, which is what the reigning business ideology is, starting with Milton Friedman in this country.
You know, Dr. Craig, man, you say it so rightly. You know, it's why I love having you on and listening to you, because you explain it, you know, in a manner that we can understand. 844-967-2789. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, after this short hiatus, we're going to talk about the fact that the Republican Party that's having a convention in Milwaukee doesn't want any problems. We don't want anybody to be able to say anything about what's going on. This is our time to shine. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action on The Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Most of us can agree the decision to have an abortion should be between a person and their doctor. Politicians should have no say at all. Thankfully, Senator Tammy Baldwin is standing up for our rights and working to keep politicians out of our medical decisions. After Roe v. Wade, the court case that protected abortion rights was overturned. Tammy Baldwin introduced the Women's Health Protection Act, which would ensure access to abortion everywhere in the United States, including here in Wisconsin. The bill would end extreme abortion bans that have no exceptions for rape, incest, or the life of the mother, and threaten doctors with criminal charges for providing abortion care. Senator Baldwin also introduced legislation that would protect the right to travel across state lines for reproductive health care and safeguard access to contraception. Call Senator Tammy Baldwin at 202-224-5653. Tell her thank you for fighting back against extreme abortion bans. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Inc.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my special guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, so last week, so here's what Republicans want to do. They've got the convention in Milwaukee, and they want unfettered, you know, opportunities to say whatever it is they want to say without any pushback, because we have come into town, we're the great Republicans, and we're going to control everything around here because we're the Republicans. We brought this convention to Milwaukee. So let us do whatever it is we want to do. Last week, the Republican National Committee demanded that the United States Secret Service, Dr. Craig, demanded, move the security perimeter so that delegates and alternates won't actually have to see many Milwaukeeans during the course of the July 15th and 18th convention. What? So because they come into our city, they don't want to see the people of the city, and they don't feel that the people of the city have any right, Dr. Craig, to say anything to them about who they are, what they do, and then to demand that the Secret Service, what planet are these people on, Dr. Craig? I mean, who's going to, and the fact of the matter is, I thought, Dr. Craig, people have a right in this country, you know, to free speech. They want to stifle free speech, Dr. Craig, because they're having a convention in Milwaukee. Shouldn't people be outraged by that, sir?
Yes. And you asked what planet they're on, Earl. They're on planet authoritarianism. I mean, this is where this strict construction of the Constitution is totally cherry-picked, where they distort the Second Amendment to give a right to semi-automatic weapons unimaginable at the founding. And you can't explain that amendment without understanding the first clause, the well-regulated militia. Why that's apparently just a drafting error. The founder just wrote that in there. So in this case, the First Amendment, free speech and free assembly come at the top. They're central and core to having a democracy. But they only believe in free speech and free assembly for themselves, right? So they want to be in Wisconsin, because it's a swing state. The only place with the hotel capacity remotely is Milwaukee area, right? The only major city in Wisconsin. But then they want to be in a bubble, hermetically sealed from the people of the city. I really didn't like the where they were going to put the protests out.
Right, I mean, neither did I.
I know that Mayor Johnson and his administration are trying to do their best, and the mayor's done great things like signing the Milwaukee Climate Economic Equity Plan. But I always thought that was a, as Raphael Smith and our staff called it, curated protest. You get an hour with their microphone and you're way off to the side. Well, apparently that's too close for the Republicans. You wonder at what point that we're not even supposed to be in the same country. I mean, it's almost like this is like a Disney production of a world that doesn't exist, right? So it just shows not only in complete intolerance of dissent, right? It doesn't grasp the idea that in a democracy there's going to be opposing positions, and that there is some right on the part of others to be heard at one of the national conventions of one of the two great political parties. in this state, in this country. And so I think it speaks for itself, Earl. But as you know, it's not, if it was only symbolic, that wouldn't be as dangerous as the fact that they, you know, have a party where the majority of voters have been convinced by their leaders that there was something nefarious in the 2020 election and Joe Biden is not legitimate. It's like back to the divine right of kings era where everyone, there were endless, you know, pretender kings and claims that the real king or the real queen weren't really the legitimate heirs to the throne. Once you undercut the legitimacy of a president that is duly elected and wins the popular vote by 7 million, then these other repercussions flow from it. But it's a symptom of the broader problem we're seeing right now, Earl, with the threat to democracy in this election.
You know, Dr. Craig, the contrast couldn't be so stark. The Democrats are going to be in Chicago in August. Republicans are in Milwaukee in July. And just to show you how outlandish their behavior is, Democrats aren't demanding any of those things. So let's stop acting like this is not unusual, Dr. Craig. It is unusual. And it's more than should be tolerated. You know, to demand that the Secret Service doesn't, we don't want to walk past those people. What? You don't want to walk past the people of the city of Milwaukee? You come into our city and you claim, well, as if you're bringing something great to the city of Milwaukee? Because Republicans are coming into our city? You want to totally dis... And to the mayor, I would say to our mayor, you know, people push back on this from the very beginning. And the mayor's position, well, this is not about Democrats or Republicans. This is about having our city shine. Well, he may see that from that perspective, but Dr. Craig, that's clearly not what the Republican, are seeing and looking at. They could care less about the people in the city of Milwaukee. As you stated, this is their opportunity. And Dr. Craig, there wasn't anybody else who wanted him, right?
Well, I'm not sure, but I don't think there was a huge bidding war on.
There was one other place,
Nashville.
Right.
Nashville didn't really make a full bid, right, as I recall. Nor would they have made a fill bid for the Brewers, but that's a, right, that's a debate from last year. I would just, you know, Nashville is the great boogeyman, apparently. Well, apparently the shining city means the buildings, right?
Right.
The convention the lake, center.
The lake.
And the hotels. It doesn't mean the people, the lake, right? And I don't want to give the Democrats a full pass yet. Let's see how that goes down. The Democrats are a coalition of people who believe in democracy, but there's a huge set of divergent views among them. While they're not making that demand, my understanding is that the city has been refusing permits for a Gaza protest. The last I heard, maybe there's been a breakthrough on that since I last talked to people down in Chicago. And the Democrats, to prove their pro-democracy mettle, are going to need to find a way for people who are not for Donald Trump, but who strongly disagree with President Biden's Gaza policy, to exercise their free speech on that. Now, that does not mean that Trump should be elected, because we have a binary choice here, and because we still have a better path towards peace in the Middle East with a Biden administration than with a Trump administration, okay, which will be completely four square behind Netanyahu. But nonetheless, I want to see the Democrats prove their Democrat muster by risking one of their greatest fears, which is a 1968-style scenario where the protests with Mayor Daley's police cracking down, where Soy control, they damage the candidacy of Hubert Humphrey against Richard Nixon.
All right, 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
Honey, I know. You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin collected more medications during Drug Takeback Day than first thought. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency adjusted its numbers and found Wisconsin ranked first in the country. The initial tally showed Wisconsin was second. People in Wisconsin turned in more than 55,000 pounds of unwanted medicine on April 27th. 70% of American adults say they're more worried about their children's mental health than their physical well-being. Psychiatrist Deborah Fernandez-Turner recommends online depression screenings.
It is really a great way to get support, and the earlier you seek treatment and the earlier you seek support, the easier it's going to be to get that support.
May is Mental Health Awareness Month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new bike and ski shop has opened up in Duluth. According to a Northern News Now report, the Ski Hut Adventure Center held a ribbon-cutting ceremony on Friday to celebrate their new Grand Avenue location. The center will rent out a variety of bikes, downhill and cross-country skis, and other equipment. The organization is part of the River West Development, which is looking to bring more tourists into that area of the city. The center will also have a full-service center for repairs on outdoor recreational vehicles. The developers of a controversial housing project in Duluth have withdrawn after pushback from the neighborhood. According to a Northern News Now report, the Bald Eagle Estates housing development in the Hawk Ridge neighborhood was canceled after residents expressed concerns about the rezoning of the land that the project would have needed. The area is currently zoned for low-density residential, and the developers of the project would have needed it rezoned to residential planned for more flexibility. And that's what you need to know. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Morgan Spurlock, who lampooned the fast food industry with his documentary Supersize Me, has passed away. Yahoo Entertainment reports the Academy Award nominee died due to complications from cancer. Spurlock showed the effects that an all-fast food diet had on his body and mind. He was 53. Let's stick with gluttony. All great competitors should know when to step down. Such is the case with competitive eater Kobayashi, who claims in his career that he has eaten over 10,000 hot dogs. I actually thought that would be more. Kobayashi once consumed 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, shattering the previous record of 25 1/8 hot dogs in the same amount of time. The athlete says after eating competitively, two words that should never be used together under any circumstances, for decades, he has no appetite. The moral of the story? If you cram as much food as you can into your pie hole for two decades, you'll eventually lose your appetite. And that's a great way to keep the weight off. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Lots of sunshine today. We'll get to around 70 for a high this afternoon. Not much wind either out of the northeast at only around 5 miles per hour. Tonight, clear 41. Tomorrow, sunshine 74 by Friday. More scattered showers with a high near 70. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
One of the most prolific columnists in the Midwest. Mr. James Causey, one of your columns, you mentioned that you got into the news because of the news quiz.
Yes. I would like to be the first person picked. And so.
Yes. Getting picked first for the news quiz teams.
We need to bring that back, actually. I need to talk to my paper about bringing that back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
And here's Heather with the weather.
Well, it's beautiful out there, sunny and 75, almost a little chilly in the shade. Now, let's get a read on the inside of your car. It is hot. You've only been parked a short time, and it's already 99 degrees in there. Let's not leave children in the back seat while running errands. It only takes a few minutes for their body temperatures to rise, and that could be fatal.
Cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. Never leave a child in a car. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm joined by comedian and former Dinner in a Movie host, Paul Gilmartin. We'll talk about the new Dinner in a Movie reboot, and I'll be joined in studio by filmmaker Craig Anthony Nitt.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my special guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. So, Dr. Craig, the jury is now deliberating. And and our nation is worried about what happens if Donald Trump is found guilty. Worried about, Dr. Craig, what's going to happen? Will there be trouble? What's going on with us, Dr. Craig? So if Donald Trump is found guilty, there are people who are threatening to do some things to make sure that there won't be peace. If Donald Trump is found guilty, they're going to react in some way physically. What is wrong with us, Dr. Craig? I mean, Donald Trump has brought this on himself.
I mean, these are the early stage warning signs of authoritarianism and fascism. You see, a lot of it is not only direct violence, that's there, but the intimidation, right, the threat. And then we stop operating by rule of law. I mean, the fundamental founding concept of this country was to have no kings. I mean, that's why the Supreme Court basically putting on hold the January 6th case as they debate what should be a completely absurd proposition that that presidents were supposed to be immune even after they leave office, right? And that their presidents were immune from acts well beyond the power of and the duties of their office. President Trump had no duty to intervene in the Georgia, Arizona, and Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania, and Michigan elections. It's not part of his job as president, but they've put it on hold. This is a real threat to the rule of law. We have one jurisdiction that's gone forward. Remember, there are three legitimate cases that are all on hold right now, for the most part, two because of judges, right, the U.S. Right. Supreme Court in the January 6th case and the documents case with that Trump-appointed judge that clearly is just in the tank for him. I mean, if people want to call in and make an argument for her, go ahead. But that's just, I believe, just believing everything that's on your side-ism. And then, of course, we had the whole blow-up in Georgia with Fani Willis, the Fulton County District Attorney, and the affair she had with one of the lead prosecutors, and that has held the whole thing up. Nothing to do with Trump, right? We know that there's an absolute smoking gun there with that recorded phone call with the Secretary of State. So we have one jurisdiction that's gone forward. It's the more complicated the cases. They've made a pretty darn strong case. Now, whether the jury finds Trump guilty beyond reasonable doubt, you have to find him guilty both of the underlying forgery of documents and directing that, and then that being a cover-up of a higher crime, which was a massive campaign expenditure unreported in order to make sure the Stormy Daniels controversy didn't blow up right after the Access Hollywood controversy and therefore completely sink his candidacy in 2016. As the prosecutor said yesterday, this is one of the most important political expenditures significant in American history because it may have been flipped the presidency, that this did not come out. So I would say, Earl, if democracy is to stand, then former President Trump needs to be under law just like the rest of us. It's authoritarianism that says that the dictator is somehow a higher law unto themselves. And frankly, that this trial moved to conclusion, but all of us need to realize if the jury doesn't find him guilty, they don't find him guilty, and our side has to accept that. But it certainly doesn't look put it this way, Earl. The New York authorities, the prosecutor, the judge have not stopped this case. The real question, Earl, is whether all of this, you know, Trump has been found guilty, the judge has been reluctant to put him in jail, right, of contempt of court multiple times. What we'll find out later, if there's a hung jury and former President Trump is not convicted, Earl, whether any of the members of the jury heard all the threats and the intimidation and reacted that way. That would be scary. That would be creeping authoritarianism as well. But if they find him legitimately, the evidence not to amount to guilt beyond reasonable doubt, then they should acquit him. And we, our side, accept that as ones who believe in law and order. But the proposition you laid out, Earl, that somehow because there are threats of violence and illegality, that President Trump shouldn't be held accountable for crimes like anyone else, that's outrageously un-American. And what is scary is that a whole political party seems to support that position. They, on CNN, they had a focus group of Georgia voters, and no one changed sides from Trump to Biden based on a conviction. In other words, none of the Trump people yielded, even if he was convicted, in terms of their vote for Donald Trump.
So Dr. Craig, Bill Maher said this in a Sunday interview. During a Sunday interview, which was meant to promote Maher's forthcoming book, What This Comedian Said Will Shock You. Well, I think the basis of it is we started to hate each other, Maher replied, before leveling criticism on both Democrats and Republicans. When you hate people, you don't listen to them. So it doesn't matter how reasonably they might be. We have reached this space where each side thinks the other side is an existential threat. You hear that term from both sides all the time. That is just a terrible place to be. And I believe, this is Bill Maher, that we could be headed towards another civil war. Now, clearly, Dr. Craig, when you see, and Bill Maher said both sides, and I don't see, I'm sorry, but I don't see that push coming from the Democratic side of things, Dr. Craig. I just don't. But you know, people want to play it right down the middle. But what this is, Dr. Craig, and the hate that is moving around this nation because somebody is a Democrat, or, you know, I don't know if Democrats hate Republicans, but I clearly know that Republicans, for the most part, hate Democrats. That's what I see. That's what I hear. Your thoughts on that and where we are?
It shows kind of the neurosis of centrism, Earl. Bill Maher is so committed to, as you said, down the middle, that he has to essentially say that well-grounded fears that Donald Trump wants to further undermine and remove the basic elements of democracy, right? Be a dictator. There's no dictator for a day, right? Now are described as and reframed as both sides are afraid of and hate the other. In any authoritarian controversy, it's like saying that the victims and the their persecutors. Well, they both hate each other and fear each other. Okay, well, aren't we morally committed to actually make an assessment of whether those are reasonable judgments, right? A persecuted group of people in an authoritarian country that's on the verge of authoritarianism, they have every right to fear those who are taking power and want to other them, blame them, target them. So it's amazing how resistant one's worldview that I'm in the middle and I make fun of both sides, right? In Bill Maher's case, ignores reality entirely. And ethics requires that one actually be honest about these things. I think too many Democrats actually hope that Republicans who are standing with Trump will see the light. And there's all this talk about the Nikki Haley voters and how we don't have to actually mobilize our own base, the folks who are with us, right? But we're going to find this magical group of Nikki Haley voters. Actually, the Democrats are constantly wishing the Republicans are going to see the light, right? We get all excited when after January 6th, Republicans are condemning Trump, but when it didn't take him down, just like Access Hollywood, there was a quick turnaround to showing fealty to their ruler, their leader. And so, and they're quietly, they quietly, all sorts of members of Congress, their reports were Republican, quietly say they're afraid of all this, but they won't say it publicly. So I'm sorry, Bill Maher, it's cowardice on his part, and also blindness, moral blindness on his part.
Denoting civil war, and I personally believe, based on what I hear, you know, if Donald Trump doesn't win, there are people who are going to retaliate. That's just fact. I don't think that's the case, Dr. Craig. There's nothing that shows me that people on the other side, people who are Democrats, are making threats that if Joe Biden doesn't win, there's going to be hell to pay. So I can't say they're one and the same, Dr. Craig. There's nothing that I've heard or leads me to believe that if Joe Biden loses, Democrats are going to raise the kind of hell that Republicans are going to raise if Donald Trump loses. Am I living in a fantasy world, or am I missing something?
Well, there may be hell raised if Trump does even one tenth of what's in the Project 2025.
As far as him winning. Once he wins and he starts doing those things, there will be hell to pay. But I'm talking about. So, go ahead.
It's a matter of who's causing the civil war, right? So let's go back to the only civil war we've had, right?
Right.
So many Southerners said, if you elect Lincoln, there'll be a civil war. Should people have voted against Lincoln and capitulated to the South and continued slavery? I mean, that is literally, and would that have not created a non-functioning country where one section of the country governed the whole country because we were afraid of the irrational and violent actions they would take? Now, it will not be a civil war like that in the sense that there were two sections that had predominantly different opinions, and therefore you could have a geographic civil war. We're all mixed up more in this country. There are red parts of Wisconsin and Illinois and Minnesota and blue parts, right? So it's not a civil war. It's more like civil unrest and division. I do think you might see blue states like California or Washington and Oregon trying to secede ultimately if Trump tries to, and the Republicans do what's in that 900-page 2025 plan, because it becomes a completely alien an oppressive republic to them. But at this point, we can't give in. This is authoritarianism playbook. Give in, we have to capitulate because of the irrational, violent, unlawful things they will do if we pursue law and order and our constitutional system. That cannot be the motivation that is essentially causing authoritarianism without it having to take power.
844-967-2789 is the number.
The This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like skee-ball made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my guest, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Dr. Craig, I'm worried. I get a little frustrated as I watch the Democratic Party and the positioning of themselves in this reelection bid. And I get frustrated because I think it just appears, Dr. Craig, that the people who are heading it are not doing the things that are going to be necessary to get people to come out and vote. And there are people who clearly, Dr. Craig, who are Democrats who are saying they're not going to vote for President Biden. And, when things like what took place a couple days ago in Rafah take place, and then the White House comes out and says, well, we don't see that there's been anything that Israel has done anything that leads us to, believe that, we can't support them, basically, is what they're saying. We can't keep doing that, Dr. Craig. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and you start out in the campaign, and the campaign can't control what President Biden's Middle East policy is, right?
Right.
So, unfortunately, this seems to be a strong commitment from his 40 years in the Senate that he thinks you always stand with Israel. Just like I said, Bill Maher is not looking at reality. I think in this case, President Biden is not looking at reality and is sticking to his old kind of viewpoint on how the world should work. Frankly, there has to be some final settlement of the question if there's ever going to be peace for either Palestinians or Israelis. And the Israelis are very wrong to think they can be a fortress state and be secure. And they're making themselves less secure by making themselves a pariah state, by engaging in, I'll use the International Court of Justice's words, possible genocide for all those who find that offensive. That is, that in other words, there need to be even further investigation to prove it. The bar is so high for genocide, but it's really horrible thing to even have possible genocide. Certainly ethnic cleansing, it would appear, if you want another bad word. So here's the problem with Gaza. Well, first of all, the campaign can't control that. And campaigns, particularly national campaigns, are going to be hit from all sides. Everyone has an opinion. They got to follow a disciplined strategy. We can't see what most of it is. this far out. A lot of it isn't going to be visible to the public. So I hope this is a damn shrewd and smart campaign strategy, because the future of democracy depends on it. Thing with Gaza is, I think the administration has felt, and this is true, that foreign policy is rarely a voting issue. In fact, the Iraq War in 2004 is the only one in half a century where research showed that that was the main driver. And so they've thought this will not be a big election issue. And there's polling to back that up. I mean, 70% of young voters, according to Harvard JFK School of Government poll, are anti-Biden's Gaza policy, but it's the number 15 priority for young voters when you rank the issues. Here's the thing, and this is also what I think happened in Afghanistan, where the botched pullout from Afghanistan, right. Biden was right to pull out and did the hard thing, but the military misadvised him and they did it poorly, and they misanalyzed how quickly the regime that would fall to the Taliban much more quickly than they thought. But that was the military and the Joint Chiefs of Staff giving him the wrong information. But that torpedoed his approval rings. They've never recovered. And it's not like people are voting on Afghanistan. I think Gaza creates this broader impression that Biden is a failure and that Biden is someone that our side can't support, even if the person doesn't conceptualize it in terms of the details of Gaza policy, right? And exactly what ought to happen. So I think that it is much more damaging than they think for that reason. They have this rabbit out of the hat idea that they're going to broker a Palestinian state with Saudi Arabia and Israel in the middle of this. They're working very hard on that. That seems very far-fetched. It's like waiting for the grand slam in the ninth inning, hoping for it and putting your whole game plan around it.
Right.
So I think this is a very dangerous situation. I think what voters, I want the Gaza policy to change. I'm outraged by it. I'm still going to vote for Joe Biden, because what we're choosing is not perfect people. We're choosing terrains, right? In which terrain is justice and equality more possible? In one, in an open democracy, Biden is with us on many issues like climate change, like antitrust, like paid family medical leave, child tax credit, which cut poverty 40 to 45%. He wants to do all of those things. He wants to do even more on climate and economic and racial equity. And he'll maintain a democracy where when we disagree with him, we can protest, we can try to move him, right? None of that exists with Trump. He will be in bed with Netanyahu. He will not listen to our side or social justice advocates or progressives or Democrats in any way, shape, or form. You see now Wisconsin's been run with the gerrymandered legislature. They do what they want to do. They don't care. It goes back to the protests of Act 10. They will ignore half the state and just do what they want to do. So when you're choosing those, it's a binary choice. This is what Biden, as people say, we need to get people the ethical choices to choose democracy, but it's a harder choice. And we have to convince a lot of young people who see no opportunity for themselves in their lives, especially young people of color, that there is still more opportunity for themselves in this other path. The student loan debt forgiveness, it's the Supreme Court that blocked it. He's done a bunch of it that he could still do legally, but it hasn't been enough to cut through. So this is why we need to talk to our own side and mobilize them, but we have to make a harder case than usual. We don't have a knight in shining armor to offer. We still need people to vote.
Yes, we do. We've got Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, our knight in shining armor. Thank you very much, Dr. Craig, as always. See you when you get back. Thank everybody who made the show go. Thank you, Calvin. I'll be joined tomorrow by none other than Joel McNally, award-winning journalist. Up next, Jane Matinere and Greg Bach. Matinere on air. See you guys later.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time when we welcome back Pat Kreitler of Up North News Radio and Trigby Olson on the Lincoln Project. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.